Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Music City has a front row seat to all the action. Hey, I'm Logan Ryan, and the 2019 NFL Draft happens here on 104.5 The Zone.
Thank you, Logan Ryan. That is definitely true. NFL Draft is 2 weeks from tomorrow, and you're going to want to be locked in to The Zone for NFL Draft coverage. We're going to do some of that right now. Our guy Dave McGinnis is sitting alone in our studio on Music Circle East. Coach Mack, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm not sitting alone. I've got Rhett Ryan right here with me.
Oh,
We're putting together this draft board over here. Yeah. I'm really not sure we can have this draft. They may have to shut it down until we get this finished.
I'm waiting for Rhett Bryan to start his own draft board, and then we're going to have this draft board conspiracy thing.
No, I think Rhett needs to start a draft podcast and charge people, you know, a reasonable fee, about $199 a month to read it.
Hey, let me ask you about, I don't know why this name just popped into my head, but it did.
Yes.
Alabama tight end Irv Smith. Let's just jump in. Tell me what you know about him, what you think about him.
I like Irv Smith. I'm gonna get to it right here, and I'll read it. It just so happens I got it in this notebook.
All Tell right. From Alabama.
Yeah. Shocker.
No, I know exactly who it is. Okay. 6023, 242, 9 1/2 hands, 31 1/2 arm, 74 7/8 wing, 4.63 40, 2.74 20. 1.68 10. Okay, vertical jump 32 1/2, broad jump 9.2, bench press 19. Here's what I've got written on Irv: good athlete, natural hands, great ball skills, hand-eye coordination. I don't see a lot of knockback in his blocking right now, but I believe he has toughs. He can get better in this area. He can be a coverage mismatch for linebackers and DBs. I think that his blocking will improve with NFL coaching. I think he is an immediate starter wherever he goes.
I like it. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. What else can I do for you?
Let's talk about a couple of running backs. Coach, one just down the road in Memphis, Darrell Henderson, who was one of the more prolific guys in the country. What have you seen with him? What do you like or not like about him?
You know, I like Darrell Henderson. Darrell Henderson's got a lot of juju to him. I mean, this is a guy that's really sudden. He's got a lot of quicks. And what you're going to get out of him, I think Darrell Henderson will be a tremendous, tremendous complimentary back in this league. Here, I've got him right here for you, Mickey. 5.083, 208 pounds, 8 5/8 hands, 31 arm, 4.53 40, but a 1.42 10. Now, what a 1.42 10 tells me, Mickey, is he's got a lot of scat in a short area. Okay, he can move a 10.1 broad jump. He's an explosive guy. Those jump cut guys I've got written down here. He's a slashing style runner. He can hit gaps quick. He makes defenders miss in the open field. I think his long speed is average, which 4.53 is average for an NFL back. I don't think, and then his strong suit is not being a real physical runner. In other words, he's not going to drop same foot, same shoulder on you a lot, but he's got great contact balance. I love his agility. I like his instincts. I think he's a perfect zone runner.
Let's go north to Kentucky. Benny Snell was a guy. Don did some of his games in college. We loved watching that guy play, Coach. He was so much fun. What are his prospects at the next level?
You know, Benny Snell is a power back. He's the exact opposite of the back that I just described. Benny Snell is a power back. He's a bloody-your-nose back. He is a same-foot, same-shoulder guy. He's one of those, and Don did his games. I mean, they would ride him pretty hard, you know, especially if they got a lead. Is that right, Don? I mean,
And it was you know it's coming. You know we're giving the ball to him. Try and stop him.
No, that's 100% right. And that's the kind of back he is. He's got no back down, you know, from his run. He does a nice job with his feet of picking holes, but he's one of those guys that's going to, I mean, it's going to be like the front bumper of a big pickup. He's going to run it right through you.
It's another college receiver who was very prolific, and I haven't heard his name a lot throughout the draft process. That's David Sills from West Virginia, who obviously had been a quarterback and then was a receiver, then tried to play quarterback again, and wound up being a pretty darn good college wide receiver.
Yeah, David Sills, first of all, he was playing in an ideal offense, you know, for him, because they threw the ball around the lot a lot there at West Virginia. And what you see out of Sills, he was a former quarterback, so he understood how to get into open areas. He was a faster guy than you thought he was. When I was watching him on tape, the guy I immediately thought of just looking at him, because he's kind of long and he can find open spots, was Drew Bennett. You know, he reminds me a lot of that. Maybe had a little more speed than Drew. Drew was faster than you thought he was, but what he did has, he had some real, real dependable hands, and he understood leverage with defensive backs on him. David Sills, somewhere down the line, he's a later pick, but the advantage that he had was the offense that he played in at West Virginia. He got a lot of chances.
You know, we've talked a lot about Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence with you from Clemson. What about Farrell, the edge rusher? What do you think about him?
6'0", 4'3", 264, 10.5 hand, 34 1/8 arm. Look, his wingspan, guys, 82 3/8. You guys are down there at Poncho and Lefty's right now. I'm sitting here in the studio. I could touch you with that kind of wingspan right there. Okay, I mean, and this guy benches 26 pounds. I thought he was a better prospect, this just looking at him on tape, than Shaq Lawson was when he came out of there. He's good with his hands. He's got a good pass rush setups. He knows how to. He's not an elite twitch athlete, but he's not going to skin the edge just on speed alone. But he's got really good power and contact balance versus blocks. He's got a combo, and I love the way he uses his hands. He's extremely aware. He's a productive athlete. He's got good shed skills. He's not an elite Gumby type guy, but he's a guy that's going to win with power, and he also understands what he's doing with his rush. I like the player.
Gumby type guy, meaning bend. If Farrell is there at 19, does that kind of match up with maybe what would work with the Titans scheme?
Who else is there?
If Brian Burns is there.
Brian Burns is more of a Gumby edge. Yeah, Farrell doesn't have a lot of experience dropping, okay, in coverage. And in this 3-4 defense, you know, you see how multiple front that Dean Pease runs. You know, you're going to ask that outside guy sometimes to drop into space. Burns does that more than Farrell did at Clemson.
Yeah, see, and those two guys could be there.
They could be there. I mean, look. We're talking about a draft. We're talking about sitting at 19. So you're going to have some choices, and a lot of it, you guys are well versed in it, and so are our listeners, because they're very aware of what's going on. When you're sitting at 19, you've got to be able to make scenarios for a lot of things that could happen. And John Robinson is one of the best. You know, I would have loved to have been a head coach and had John Robinson, you know, running my draft, because he gets it. He gets it on all fronts. He also understands how to maneuver the geography around his spot in the draft. So they'll have a plan.
You know who else gets it on all fronts? Dave McGinnis.
Yeah,
brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Bridgestone Arena. Preds fans are starting to head downtown. I see Big Joe Dubin standing on the street corner in Winslow, Arizona. No, right down below us with a camera. Big Joe. I feel like I should throw beads or something.
I don't want to see what it takes to get
to so come down here and day drink with us. Not that we are, but you certainly can. And get ready for the Preds game. Preds game 1 tonight against the Stars at 8:30. Coach Mack is in studio. We're talking about the NFL draft with him. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, that is when the NFL draft begins. We're looking forward to that. Coach Mack, I mentioned before the break, I just happened to be perusing an NFL mock draft, which I know you don't pay attention to. But it did list a player that I want to ask you again about. DK Metcalf, wide receiver, Ole Miss. He was like the combine beauty, for sure, I guess, for lack of a better word, with that chiseled physique. What do you think about DK Metcalf and those measurables that were off the charts?
Well, first of all, I love Poncho and Lefty's. That's a great place down there. I love that place down there. Second of all, talk about chiseled. If you're going to throw beads, tell Big Joe keep his shirt on. You know, I want to be sure that goes on. And then DK Metcalf, here we go. 6'0", 3'3", 228. 82 7/8 wing. This is a physical freak. 4.33 40, and that's electronically timed. All right, 1.48 10. 40.5 vertical jump, broad jump 11.2. You've got an explosive athlete, 27 on the bench. He's a big athlete. He's a physical mismatch in combat catches down the field. Okay, here's what he's got. He's a straight line athlete. He's got a hard time breaking down the transition routes. He ran mostly vertical and linear routes. All right. This is not a refined wide receiver. He's got a unique set, a size, strength, speed ratio. He needs work to be an accomplished wide receiver, but look, there's not many people on earth that are made like this, and so you've got an automatic physical mismatch if you want to use a vertical threat down the field coupled with some other things in your offense. The other thing, hold on a minute, Don, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the other thing about him, now he's had some injuries that you're going to have to vet. I mean, you're going to have to vet that. Neck is one of them. But anyway, go ahead.
Just curious, if you're a franchise and maybe historically you haven't exactly had a ton of success at a certain position in the draft, if you know what I'm saying.
Are you saying Titans and wide receivers?
Possibly. Does that creep in? Does that affect your decision-making year after year? What? Give us your take on it.
Well, no, not necessarily, because you've had different people making the picks, right? I mean, you've had different people making the picks, and some of the picks, you know, have been good picks. I was around some of them, but injuries factored in, you know, to a lot of that. I don't think you can ever let anything that has happened somewhere like that, either in the past with a position or say with a school. Say that you've had some issues with guys coming out of certain schools. That really, you know, that has no bearing on the future and the now and what's going on. You've got to pick the best player to your thought process at that point in time.
Coach, how tough is it? I know it's tough for any position, but let's say you got a wide receiver and he's at a tiny school and the guy's just killing it. How hard is it to vet, like this Andy Isabella at UMass? He's a little guy, super fast. I was looking at Mike Dettillier's draft book. He's the 11th highest rated receiver. How much, I mean, I know you have to do a lot of vetting, but how hard is that vetting process for a small school guy who tears it up at a skill position like that?
Well, you have to look at it. But I'll tell you what's cool about Andy Isabella. I mean, I just so happen to have him right here. 5086, 188. Okay, 4.35 40. And I said that. That's a 4.35 40. 36.5 vertical, 10.1 broad jump. All right. 15 on the bench. This guy is a ready-made slot player in this league, and especially with as much 11 personnel as people are deploying now on first and second down. And plus, this guy is tough. You've seen him against some bigger competition. He's got sudden plant breaks. He's a good athlete after the catch. He really is. He's explosive. He's got instincts. This is a true NFL slot receiver who can maneuver in space. Andy Isabella, that's a nice pick by you, Mick. He will play in this league.
As you look up and down the Titans wide receiver room, I'll ask you, Coach, I tweeted that I really like Deebo Samuel because I especially like how versatile he is. Mm-hmm. And you know this, Coach. You got 46 people that you go to battle with every week, and a lot of them got to be able to do 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 different things to be one of those guys. And I had somebody just come back and blast me because of his size, and you want somebody else who's 6'4". And I don't necessarily want that, Coach. I want football players, and that's why I like Deebo Samuel.
Kiper just had him in his mock draft with the Titans picking him in at 51.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
But it's interesting. When you look at the Titans wide receiver room, what's missing? What do you see, a specific type, or just you just want more ball players in there?
No, you want guys to catch a ball and do something with it after they catch it. That's what I like in a wide receiver.
That's what I like about him.
Yeah, let's start with that. I don't like people blasting you though, Mickey. That upsets me.
Okay. That's okay, man.
No, it's really not. Okay, let's go with this. Deebo Samuel, 5'11", 214, 10 hand. That's a big hand. 4.48 in the 40. You're not talking about an extremely fast guy, all right? But a 39-inch vertical jump, a 10.2 broad jump, 15 on the bench. He's not an elite speed receiver, but he's got good sudden moves. And he can find the open space. This guy is very aware of how to find open spaces in coverage. I mean, he's a good after the catch, too. He's an excellent player after the catch. He will probably best used in the slot, but I think you can move him all around. And you can also use him as a returner. I like this player.
Definitely. Let's go down the road with a couple more pass rushers, because I know that's a need in a lot of Titans fans. That's something that they're interested in. DeAndre Walker from Georgia, obviously being an SEC guy, a lot of people have seen him play. He seems a little, what would you say, like doesn't have enough sand in his butt? Like not the biggest guy, 6'3",
it's not heavy
240
enough.
Something. Not heavy enough, maybe, but you could obviously put some weight on him, hopefully depending on his frame.
Okay, here's the deal on DeAndre Walker. You guys are really working me today to see if I've watched any tape. DeAndre Walker from Georgia, he's number 15, 6'0", 251. 81 and three quarters inch arms. So what that means is he can lock out. He can lock out. He can use his arms, because that's huge for somebody down front. Okay. He's not as physically impressive as what Leonard Floyd or Lorenzo Carter was coming out of there, but he's got effort. He makes an impact on film. He appears to be flexible. He's got the athleticism. I love his competes. He can drop. He can rush. He can set the edge. I think he's got a huge upside. I really do, as a 3-4 outside linebacker.
If the Titans try to bolster the inside portion of their offensive line, there's a guy at NC State that I've been reading about, Garrett Bradbury at center. What do you think about him?
The best center in the draft. He's the absolute best center in the draft. 6027, 306, 492, 34 bench. Okay, so what that tells you is, you know, he's got short, quick, powerful punch. He's athletic. He's mobile. He's smart. You can tell he's a very smart and aware player. He's not a massive guy. He's not one of those big, huge guys in there. And that would be, he probably learn how to anchor better against some of the bull rushes he's going to face in this league. He's got quicks to recover. He has the instincts. He's very, very tough. He's an excellent zone center, because he can get to the second level very, very quick. He's going to be a very good center in the National Football League. I like this player a lot.
He's one of those guys, Coach. You got to get him at 19, though, right? Because if you're the Titans, that's it. You got one shot at him at 19.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to go pretty quick. But just because of what he can do, and because of his unique set, and because so many people run the outside zone now, you want some guys that can get to that second level.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe he's a guy where you can drop back a few slots, pick up a pick, and still get the guy that you want. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
Got to be careful with that. Do you ever do that and then miss out?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I've done this for 31 years, sitting in that room and making picks and watching the clock and dropping back and holding your breath. And, I mean, I could, you know, the answer is yes. I mean, I've got a couple of times it happened, made me cry.
Oh, well, that's not right, Coach.
Well, it was right, because we missed a really good player, and we're really really stupid by not taking who you want.
Well, we don't want Mickey getting blasted.
Yeah,
we don't want
you crying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mickey got blasted, and I said I cried then. I'm not crying now. Mickey just got blasted recently. That upsets me.
More
there's
with Coach
no
Mack.
Crying in the draft room.
There's no crying in the draft room. Yeah, there's a lot of cussing, though, if that happens. I promise you.
Let's talk more defensive line help. Let's go Jerry Tillery, Notre Dame. What do you think?
Number 99. Look, when you're talking to people, if you want to talk about the draft with people and ask them, if they don't tell you what number they are, then they haven't watched film, so don't talk to them. Okay, so that's, you know, then you know you're not getting the real scoop if they can't tell you their number. All right, 6'0", 6'4", 295, 81-inch wing. This is a big human. 4'9", 340. 23 on the bench. He's got a powerful, powerful punch. He's got length to stack and shed ability. He's talented physically. He's got NFL athleticism. He's got length to make plays. Either way, now the issues you're going to get with him, he's very inconsistent with his play. He was more consistent this year than he was the year prior. You need to vet him very much, but physically, this guy is an NFL defensive lineman. There's not enough people on this planet that are big, that can move like he does, and he did have a very, very productive senior year.
In terms of your draft board, because I know you've got this concept of verticality and then horizontal, you go horizontal from there. I'm curious how many first-round graded edge rushers you have in this draft.
First round edge rushers. I can tell you right here. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5.5 to 6.
Chase, 5.5.
Chase Winovich isn't one of those guys, Coach, but where do you have him in your – you mentioned try-hard guys. He seems like one of those guys.
Yeah, Chase Winovich is going to go – Chase Winovich will probably go probably in the second round, towards the middle to the end of the second round, 6026, 256 pounds, a 1.57 10, so he can get off. He's got the ability to rush and bend using his hands. He's got really nice what I call contact balance, which you have to have if you're going to be playing within the cylinder in there, because you're going to be getting hit and bounced around. If you don't have contact balance, if you get hit and you're like you're on stilts and you're pinned over, you can't play when you're on the ground. He's got good contact balance. He's got a competitive drive to him. He's got relentless effort when he plays. All right, he finds a way to defeat blockers. He's very active with his hands. He's a relentless player. Chase Winovich, if Chase Winovich comes into your camp, you're going to have a hard time not keeping him on your football team.
What do you think about Daniel Jones, the quarterback that a lot of people now think is a first-round grade guy from Duke?
You know, the one thing about quarterbacks, and I know our listeners know this, you guys know this because you guys have been around quite a bit. There are two distinct drafts that go on. There's a draft for everybody, and then there's a draft for quarterbacks. Because if you are a team that needs a quarterback, regardless of these quarterbacks, they slot differently. They slot differently because of need. They also slot differently just because of impact and what they have. Daniel Jones, look, 6.05, 221 pounds out of Duke. We all know what David Cutcliffe can do with quarterbacks as far as training them. You can see a lot of David Cutcliffe's coaching ability in this guy. He's a pocket presence. He's got a good release. He's got a decent arm. He can move. He competes. He's a leader, and you can tell that he understands how to play quarterback. He doesn't have any overwhelming physical characteristics, but he's got great field vision. He's got good lower body mechanics, and I think he's got the ability to start. I think he would be an excellent backup when he first comes into the league.
So in terms of the two drafts, as you mentioned, the quarterback draft.
Yes.
So it's more about how many teams need a quarterback, and then that's how many quarterbacks likely go in the first round, as opposed to this quarterback is a first round kind of guy.
No, absolutely, and that's the truth, and that's been the truth, you know, since the earth was created for drafts. Because if you need a quarterback, then you're going to find one. You're going to find one, and you're going to find a reason to go get one. And normally in drafts, there are not that many of them that are ready made. So you really get itchy and jumpy and feel like you have to go up and get one. And so if you don't need one, what you do want is you want quarterbacks to go early in the draft so that it daisy chains and pyramids guys down to you at your pick.
How often is the phone ringing in the draft room?
All the time.
With teams trying to trade for your pick?
All the time. I mean, I used to work the phone. I mean, I loved working the phone. I mean, right now with my cell phone, I need a lawnmower battery on it because it's just, I mean, it's going all the time right now. And that's
already.
Yeah, already. And that's what you do. And when I was involved in the draft and it was deep into it, I mean, right now you would be on the phone chumming the water. In other words, you're chumming the water and you might be asking a question about one thing, trying to get information over here on the other side of the other one. The longer you're in the league, the more people you know. And then it's not only the more people that you know which people you can trust. Believe me, I loved working the phones during the draft. That's really an exciting part of it, and it goes on constantly.
What was the latest in a process that you ever got a deal done? Got a trade, something like that done?
2 minutes. Yeah, two minutes, and it's got to be in, and it's got to be done, because every trade that you make, it has to be approved. All right, it's got to be approved, and of course nowadays it's a lot easier than it used to be in the old days. I mean, it was different when you had, you know, the you didn't have it as immediate access as you do right now. But yeah, I mean, it's been close, and of course there are a lot of things that, you know, I've been involved in drafts where people didn't get it done. You know, like Mike Tice did there at Minnesota. Guess what?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
passed your time. Let's go to the next one.
I mean, how unbelievable is that in the social media age? Like, happened Thursday, you know, 2 weeks from Thursday, how unbelievable would that be?
Well, it's not unbelievable. Look what happened to Cleveland, you know, a couple of years ago when they were trying to trade for a quarterback during the season and were high-fiving each other and congratulating each other on the trade and didn't get it in.
Oh, man.
during the season. So it's not, look, there's nothing unbelievable, believe me.
Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Coach Mack, you and Rhett working on some more podcast type stuff?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we're doing some stuff up here, and JT's up here running the show. And so JT's going to be running your show, but we're going to get him in there with us on this draft board here in a minute.
Need to make him a draft nerd like the rest of us, Coach. He's not a believer. You need to get him preaching the gospel about the draft.
JT is a believer. He's giving me a thumbs up right now. He's already showing me draft picks right now.
For JT, he loves the Cubs so much. If you can find like a first-round type graded guy that could play shortstop for the Cubs or, you know, left field.
There's Look, I've spent a lot of time at Addison and Clark those 10 years I was in Chicago. There's nothing wrong with liking the Cubs, believe me.
Right, Mickey?
This Cardinal fan will abstain from comment.
Hey, I spent a lot of time in Bush watching the Cardinals, too, now. So
okay, okay.
No, there's nothing wrong with liking the Cardinals, either.
No, Amen.
I've been in both.
Yeah, you've been
I like ponchos and lefties, too. I wish I was down there right now. That's a good place.
Get they got down here.
Great tacos down there.
They really do. Yeah,
great tacos.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to partake yet, but I will. Hey, Coach, thanks for the time. We love what you do for all of the shows at The Zone, and certainly appreciate you, and we'll visit next week.
Guys, you're the best. I'll talk to you. See you.
Thanks, Coach.
Dave McGinnis, Coach Mack. When we come back, we'll talk more about this game one.